The joys of commuting by bike attract scores of new converts every year, but as fresh-faced cyclists fill the roads, they also encounter their share of frustrations. Careless drivers, wide-flung car doors, zoned-out pedestrians, and aggressive fellow cyclists, just to name a few. In a follow-up to the best-selling Bike Snob, Bike Snob NYC, a.k.a. Eben Weiss, takes on the trials and triumphs of bike commuting with snark, humor, and enthusiasm, asking the question, if we become better commuters, will that make us better people? And it's a great pleasure to welcome Bike Snob NYC himself, Eben Weiss, to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It's very nice to have you here. How did you get, first of all, how did you get start writing about biking?
They say write what you know, and for some reason it didn't occur to me until I was in my 30s that the only thing I really know anything about is cycling, so I started writing about that.
How did you become a cycler?
I've always loved to ride bikes, just as from when I learned how to ride one, I was hooked. That was it. I grew up riding bikes and racing on BMX bikes, and just as I got older, always loved it. So, yeah, it's a lifelong thing for me.
And Bike Snob, the first book, set out to do what? You wanted people to realize that there was a large cycling community out there.
Yeah, the first book, you know, I had been writing my blog for a while at that point, and in my blog I try to make the blog most of the time as funny as possible. The references are usually pretty topical, you know, since it's a blog. Blog posts tend to have a little bit of an expiration date, of a shelf life. What I wanted to do with the book was sort of in a slightly more earnest way, while still being funny with the first book, was sort of, you know, really articulate that, yes, that there is cycling is a big part of our lives. It's something that all of us can relate to, and to kind of articulate the emotions we have, the experiences we have, the relationship we have to it, and so forth.
So with this book, The Enlightened Cyclist, Commuter Angst, Dangerous Drivers, and Other Obstacles in the Path to Two-Wheeled Transcendence, you're talking about some of the, for want of a better term, the pet peeves that you have as a cyclist.
Yeah, what I wanted to do with this book, whereas the first book was about cycling in general, was sort of about the world of cycling or the consciousness of cycling or whatever you want to call it, with this book I really wanted to focus on the experience of commuting and of practical cycling, of using a bicycle to get around as opposed to as a tool for exercise and for recreation, all of which is great, by the way, but I wanted to look at the experience of commuting, because whether you ride a bike or not, you know, most of us commute in one way or another, and it's a point of our day which we're all sharing space, and there's lots of frustrations. There's a common experience we all have. It's sort of the final frontier of civilization, in that it's the one area of life in which you still might shout at a complete stranger. I mean, you don't do that in the supermarket. You don't do that at work. Commute is still kind of wild. It's still kind of primal. So I wanted to explore that mental space, and to do it from a cycling perspective, because that's my perspective.
So Bike Snob NYC, so you were city-based then, yes?
Yeah, I live in Brooklyn, New York.
So how much of that is relevant to the rest of the world in the sense of, because in reading the book, I just get the sense, I mean, a lot of this stuff is universal, obviously, it's universal. But I mean, it does take a special breed of person, does it not, to want to ride the bike in the city and to employ the imminent hazards that are around you at every moment?
No more than any other place in the United States, which for the most part is not the most bike-friendly country in the world. I mean, we have places like Portland that are kind of an anomaly, that have really been progressive in that area. But, you know, whether it's being a, you say, special person, I think that's putting it a little charitably. But, you know, whether it's riding in a place that's crowded and busy and hectic like New York, or riding in other cities in the country, which are difficult to ride bicycles in for other reasons. I mean, you go to a city like Miami or something. Miami's nothing like New York, but it has its own set of frustrations for the cyclists. You know, very car centric. You know, no bike lanes, roads without shoulders, and all of these things. So. Obviously, the details are New York specific, but the experience of feeling like that people are inconsiderate towards you, of being frustrated with a lack of infrastructure. I mean, this is the way it is all over the country.
Right, universal, and I certainly understand that. But it just seems to me that if you go down, how do I put this? It just seems to me that you look at a city. And you come here to Albany, and you may go a mile, and you'll have maybe five cars parked along the side of the road, where in New York you may have 500. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it sort of increases your odds for things to happen.
Well, that's just true, and that's true of everything in a big city. Your odds of everything change. I mean, everything's different, but maybe it's more intense here, but the mechanics of it all are the same. You know, we are fortunate here, though, that the city has in recent years become very progressive as well with bicycle infrastructure, and they've been adding lots of protected bike lanes and things like this, which have made it exponentially better place to ride a bike. But New York is New York's crazy. New York's a big place. It's can be crowded and hectic. But again, I mean, the mechanics that govern New York are the mechanics that govern the universe.
Absolutely,
people everywhere.
So what can we do? What can we do to make this country, as you say, more bike friendly?
There's a lot of things that have to happen, externally. I mean, adding the bike lanes and refining the infrastructure and, kind of redesigning the streets a little bit so they accommodate pedestrians and cyclists a little better, as well as cars. That's a huge step that should be taken, and that works. I mean, they're doing that here, and it's been borne out. There's more people riding bikes. You know, it gets safer. All of these things. Happen. At the same time, you can wait for that stuff to happen, but you also want to be able to ride a bike now. If you like to ride a bike, you want to be able to ride a bike now. So, what I talk about in the book is laughing at the frustrations we experience and sort of just coming to terms with them and understanding them so we can do our best to avoid them and avoid the frustration, avoid being angry, be considerate when you can be considerate. Drivers may be inconsiderate towards you when you're on a bicycle, but at the same time, when you're on a bicycle, you have to extend the same consideration to pedestrians, to your fellow cyclists. You can make your ride more positive even as things are now.
You make this point in the book, and I think it's an important one. Yes, there are the careless drivers. Yes, there are the car doors and the pedestrians and not paying attention. But also there are cyclists who are overly aggressive that can cause problems as well, not only for you as a cyclist, but just sort of giving cyclists in general a bad name.
I really resent the fact that people try to make you accountable as a cyclist and say that, you have to behave a certain way for the sake of cycling. That's putting it a little harshly. But at the same time, yes, of course, absolutely, there's things you can do on a bike that are bad. They're dangerous to you. They're dangerous to other people. And you shouldn't do them. It's common sense. But we do have a funny thing where nobody sees a dangerous driver and paints all drivers as maniacs, but we tend to do that with cyclists. So, people see one cyclist running a light and it's, cyclists never stop at lights. So we have a weird way of targeting the weaker people, really. which is silly. I mean, who's causing more death and destruction out there, cyclists or drivers?
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with that. I do, however, in driving with other people, there seems to be a mentality out there that they are a good driver and everyone else is not.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that plays into it. Sure. Whether you're a cycler or not. So when you look at the book, what do you ultimately hope people will get out of this Enlightened Cyclist Manual?
I want people to laugh. I want people to enjoy reading it, and I want them to feel a little better about commuting. I want them to feel a little. I want them to enjoy themselves however they get around. If they ride a bike, I want them to know to hopefully laugh at it and know that other people are riding bikes too and experiencing the same things and the same frustrations. I want them to be aware of some of the bad stuff that happens so maybe you can avoid it. And if you don't ride a bike, I mean, if you drive a car, if you do whatever, I mean, I do all of these things. I don't only ride a bike. You know, if I need to get in the car, on a bus, or in a train, or in an airplane, I do it. It's 2012 or whatever year it is. But so no matter who you are, I want you to read it and enjoy it and laugh. But and also know that, look, everyone you're sharing the road with is a human being. You know, it's not us versus them. It doesn't have to be bikes versus cars and cars versus bikes and this versus that. It can be a happy experience.
Evan Weiss's Bike Snob NYC. The new book is The Enlightened Cyclist. It's published by Chronicle. Evan, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Best to you. Again, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.